Hey, so as Josh talked about, we're in a series called Beyond Normal, but we're in a year that we're trying to get us to think beyond normal. But last week I talked about normal like it was a totally bad thing. Let me say this, there's some normal things that are legit. There's normal desires that are legit, there's normal circumstances that are legit, there's normal focus that we have that can be legit. But I want us to remember that what is normal for us is not always what's best for us. And there's times when we hunger and thirst for things, literally hungry for food and thirsting for water, that we actually fight and scrap for that so much that we forget that our greatest need is fulfilled in Jesus and Him alone. And so we're going to get right into that. We are going to juxtapose some things. And if you don't know what that word means, I don't really know what it means either, except to compare. Compare them like this against this. Jesus, for 40 days, went without food. 40 days. You know what it says there? And I love this in Matthew 4, 1. After 40 days of not eating, it says he was hungry. Thanks, Matt. That's good. He was hungry. And so what happened in that is that instead, let me just see what's happening because my phone's blown up. I want to make sure I'm not getting yelled at. It's my wife. She's not yelling at me. Hi, if you're watching, love you. I should probably say this to you for some of you that are wondering why, what happened to your face. I was trimming my beard and I did a swath through it. I didn't even know what I was doing and I'll be paying to have that trimmed in the future. I'd already tried that once. My children, some of them were freaked out. One in particular said, "Ooh, why? This is my face, man. I mean, this is what it is." Yeah, and it was frightening to him, and he hadn't seen that in a while. And I started to realize the number of people who said, "Boy, you look so much better with a beard." But then half the other people are like, no, good, keep it like this. And Kathy's like, "No, you can grow it out a little bit." And again, I wonder, it's outward appearance, and it doesn't matter that much, but people have a lot to say about the outward appearance. So let's bring this to a spot where I think most of us have lived and will live. We're going to talk today about complaining and whining and grumbling, which in the Hebrew literally means, grumbling literally means rebelling against God. It's open rebellion, but your open rebellion is mostly against God. You don't like what's happening, and you either don't rail against God, or no, you shouldn't rail against God, so you rail against circumstances, you rail against people, and you're ultimately saying, "You don't got this." And Jesus had that opportunity in Matthew 4, and I'm going to let you go back. Pastor Josh read it. I'm going to let you read through it. But in there, he's tested and tempted, and we're going to talk about that. And we're going to compare it to God's people who were wandering. They were wandering, but they were 3 days in, you guys. 3 days in to their trip away from slavery, their deliverance in this mighty hand of God. They're 3 days in, and they come to this water, and it's bitter. And they start complaining. 3 days in. Let's go to Exodus 15, 25 through 27. Whew. Hang in there with me. There's a lot. So Moses cried to the Lord, asking for help with this bitter water, and the Lord showed him a log, and he threw it in the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them, saying, "If you diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his eyes and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord your healer, Yahweh Rophi. I am your healer. I will take care of you." And now we get to this in Exodus 16. They set out from Elim, where they were at just then, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin. That is not symbolic, that is the name of it. I could pronounce the I like an E and say Sin, but the truth is, it was called the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. They're on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. If you're not following along, 3 days in, they had a pretty significant problem. They needed water, and their water was bitter. God gave them grace, made it better. See what I did there? Bitter to better, right? Well, now they're 2.5 months out, and something else happens. The whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. It would have just been better for us to die as slaves when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you've brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Discomfort sets in and they check out. And this isn't just discomfort. This is a legitimate need. They want food. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold," which means, look at this, "I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not." Friends, I want to talk to you a little bit about testing. I have some notes that I want to read directly to you. Normal whines, complains, grumbles, wishes for what it doesn't have or used to have or wants. Normal curses the dark, is negative. Beyond normal, trusts that God is good, waits for him, looks for him, remembers him in the dark, stays as positive as possible because they trust in God. Our complaints are never really caused by our outward circumstances. They're actually an inward problem. We have a hard time trusting. God says, "I'm going to test them." And so today I want to take you from testing to trusting. Now, I can't do that, only the Holy Spirit can, but we've just testified today and praised God and prayed to God about things that are a challenge, things that are difficult, things that are painful. When we're challenged and uncomfortable, it's fully a test. It's a test to see if we're going to trust God or not. How many of you besides me have failed in that test? How many of you besides me have seen God show up even in our failure? Me too. Look, I just talked about celebrating 31 years of marriage, and that just kind of rolls off the tongue. But you know that marriage has been one of the most challenging relationships I've ever had. And I'm married to a woman that most people consider really, really amazing. And they're right. She's human and I'm human. I'm more human than her, but the reality is we're a challenge for each other and a blessing for each other. Let me share some things that I wrote down about marriage. Marriage, at times, when we're tested, is about not getting what we wanted, not getting what we needed, not getting what we expected. It's about family and friends hurting our feelings. It can be about betrayal, boredom, financial hardship, potential or actual. It can be a lot of work. Speaking of work, work is one of the spots that we get tested the most outside of marriage and relationship. And that's because there's difficult projects, difficult people, difficult policies, difficult atmosphere and environment. But I want to let you know something. As challenging as all of that is, marriage, work, relationships, the world, this is an opportunity for us to trust God. This is an opportunity for us to see God. It's an opportunity for us not to just try to etch a sketch it away and start over. Well, I don't like what's happening in my marriage. Well, let's cancel that and start another one. You were my starter wife. God is not saying, look, here's the test, because I hate you. I'm testing you to see if you'll follow me, if you'll come to me, if you'll rejoice in me. I want to remind you that not too long ago in Philippians 1, 27 through 30, we saw that it had been granted to us for the sake of Christ not only to believe in him, but to suffer for his sake. The challenges that our world is going through and that we're seeing right now have one of the most profound opportunities for us to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, as Paul said, I'll say it again, rejoice. Rejoice. What, because bad things? Look, the inward condition of our hearts are going to be exposed when we're tested. And some of us have some really good stuff that's happening inside, and some of us have some really bad stuff. And if I'm just going to be honest, we all have both of those going on right now. And so whatever God is trying to bring out of you, I ask that you would not whine and complain only. I'd actually ask you, as we talked about last week, to talk to God, to trust in him, to come to him, to let him know what's going on, as if he doesn't. But let him know what's going on with you as true relationship. Look, if we're talking about normal versus beyond normal, God calls us to be beyond normal when it comes to trials and testing. That we would actually trust him and go to him and make him known. Not just change everything, but as was talked about last week from JD, change me. Change me. Help me to be more like you. Let's continue on. Exodus 16, 5 through 7. He says, look, I'm going to test them whether they will walk in my way or not. On the sixth day, he says, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, at evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us? Look, there's a couple things here. Grumbling and glory. He's talking about it right here. What is it? The glory of God is grace. But I was reading a book, and this book has been unsettling. I've sent some pictures of it to some people, and not just like, hey, you need to hear this. Hey, you're out of line. You should change. I'm like, look, I want to share in this abundant conviction, and I want other people to suffer with me. Check it out. Philip Graham Ryken, in his book, Exodus, Save for God's Glory, says, all of our dissatisfaction and discontent ultimately is directed against God. A complaining spirit always indicates a problem with our relationship with God. Not just complaining, a complaining spirit. You see how that goes, right? We go beyond just being frustrated. We turn into bitter people. When we're challenged and uncomfortable, we don't see it as a test from God to trust him. We see it as him being mean. We see it as him being unable to take care of my stuff. And like the Israelites, we're prone to look at challenge and suffering as loss only, and not an opportunity to trust and follow Jesus as our provider and as our provision. I'll move on. Verse 8 in Exodus 16 says, Moses said, When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumbled against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord. One more shot, right? He's like, knock it off. Now, verse 9. Then Moses said to Aaron, say to the whole congregation of the people, the whole of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, I've heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. He knows what you need before you ask him, Jesus said. He wants you to talk to him. He hears your grumbling. He's big enough, strong enough, bold enough, God enough to not be taken off the throne because of your problems. But he does call us to talk to him, and he calls us to listen to him. He calls us to trust him, and he calls us to receive his glory. Look, I want you to go out, he says, and pick up food that I drop from heaven for you. You've got to go and do it. I've provided it for you. You see what's happening here, right? There's a relationship. There's a trust. And it's very, very challenging. Jesus could have, in Matthew 4, taken matters into his own hands. Instead, he entrusted himself to every word that comes out of the mouth of his Father. I think for some of us, we forget that grace is all about God. John and I were talking on Wednesday, and he was reading this book that talked about how God's grace provides us an opportunity to receive things for our joy, but it also can provide you an opportunity to grab something for your greedy self. I'm going to take this because it's mine. I deserve this. Not the grace of God, like, oh my goodness, Lord, you gave me something to eat. Not just something. For 40 years, they ate this manna and they got tired of it. Manna again? And they complained. And we do too. He provides quail. There's one other time he actually provides quail where it was a frustration for him. He's like, good, you want meat? Here it comes. It was 2 feet deep, quail everywhere. By the way, if I ever, ever open a restaurant, it's going to be called Quail and Manna. I just think it would be such a rad name for a restaurant. It probably already exists. But and if it does, just give me a minute. All right, okay. I don't have too many original things, and that isn't even original. It's in the Word. But so he gives it to him, and he says the meat was so in their teeth, and then it came out their nostrils. Like, you wanted meat. You complained against me again and again and again. And God isn't like, oh, gosh, I'm tired of you. I'll kill you. There was death. There was opportunities for him to be just like us, but instead he gives grace because it's about him, about his glory, friends. Please rest in that. And so he provides all this quail and manna for them. And in verse 18, he gives this idea of daily bread. You might remember that from Jesus' prayer. You might remember that from Proverbs 30, 8 through 9. Don't give me too much that I think I'm great. Don't give me too little that I try to go steal stuff. Just give me today's bread. Check this out. When they measured it with an omer, they went out and picked up all this manna. Whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat, and they could help each other. It was about that. It wasn't so much about socialism or communism. It wasn't about imperialism. It wasn't about any ism. It was about God and his glory, and he shared. And he wanted them to share with one another. And I'm going to take this time to read these next 12 verses so you and I can understand this test from God was to see if we and if they, our forefathers, would trust God. The challenges that we have, the opportunity that we have, the provision that we have is an opportunity to trust God. And Moses said to them, "Let no one leave any of it over until the morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms or maggots, which if you're really hungry, you could eat those too. And it stank. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning, they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. Now on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest." Do you remember where the Sabbath was actually established? Creation. This isn't new. But he's saying, look, solemn day of rest, which is also a gracious gift from God that we struggle with significantly. Because we live in a world where you got to keep going, got to keep going, got to be able to provide. So when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over, lay aside and keep it till the morning." So they laid it aside till morning as Moses commanded them. And it did not stink, and there's no worms in it. Because God said, "This is what you're to do. Trust me." Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is the Sabbath to the Lord. Today you're not going to find any of it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, Shabbat, rest, there will be none." Look, you're going to get twice as much on that sixth day. Because God's going to provide for you because you're going to rest. I'm providing rest for you. Now, on the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. Didn't he just tell them? Does this sound like anybody's life? I mean, we're teachers, we're parents, we're co-workers, we're bosses, we're children. God says, "This is what I'm doing for you." And we're like, "Yeah, but I'm going to try this still. I'm going to do my thing. I know it's your glory, but for my need," which some of them are legit, again, it's normal to have these things. What's beyond normal is to actually trust God in what he says is provision and what he says is right. And the Lord said to Moses, verse 28, "How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain, each of you, in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. How many of you have to be forced to rest? Almost all of you are diligent, hardworking people, which is an honor to God. It's an honor to God to trust him, to believe him, to receive from him. I ask you with all of my heart, do you trust God? Manna was a reminder that they couldn't take care of it on their own. Manna was a reminder that God is right here. He's the source of all of your life. And as Jesus quoted, I'll read Deuteronomy 8:3. "He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." In that context, Moses is sharing and teaching in such a profound way. And I wonder, do you trust God? Do you trust God to provide for you? Do you trust God to be the one that gives you everything that you need? That doesn't mean you don't work. They had to work. They had to go and they had to gather. They had to obey God. This is what we're called to do. Let me say this to you. If you're doing something to provide for yourself that's a dishonor to God, you need to stop. What would that look like? Oh, maybe stealing from people. Maybe your jobs are like that. In marriage, if you have to fake it till you make it over and over again, you need help. You need to actually ask for help. You need to reach out and say, look, I'm right here, but my heart is far. If you find yourself forgetting that God did all of these things to bless you, then you need to repent. You need to remember, like Jesus said, that Sabbath was made for man, not man for Sabbath. It wasn't about keeping rules. It was about a blessing. When I ask you, do you trust God? I want to ask you if you believe that he is the bread of life. In John, and we just read this, I read it to you guys on Christmas Eve a bit. I read it to you on the Sunday after Christmas. And so I'll read it to you one more time. I think it's worth repeating. John 6:35-40. Let me tell you that the bread in the wilderness, the provision for the people, was all pointing to the provider, and his name is Jesus. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. Dear friend, Jesus has got you. He's got you, and he won't let you go. If you don't want him, then he probably don't got you. Like, legitimately, if that's every now and then where you struggle and you doubt, that's normal. Beyond normal is to have all those things and yet trust him. That's supernatural, and God is doing something in you. I'm saying it to you very clearly. If you don't want God, and that's your go-to move, you probably aren't in him. Humble yourself. You're not God. He is. I'll finish with Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Friend, where is God calling you to trust him? Marriage, work, kids, driving. Will you? Will you trust him? All the people needed to do was rely on what he had already provided. For you and I, as Christ followers, this is a reminder not only to study God's word, but also do what it says in every situation. You're going to need the Holy Spirit for that. Good news. He's given you his Holy Spirit. Let's pray. God, I love you and thank you for this day. I thank you for my dear friends and my family. I ask, God, that you would help us to go beyond normal, that we would trust you and believe you. When we're tested, that we know that you're providing for us in the midst of all of that. God, I pray for people who are suffering so much, and there's so much grief, and there's so much agony, and there's so much depression, there's so much frustration with our world and especially in our own country. I pray that they would let you be the one that gives them every word that provides for their soul. Not bread alone, but you, your word. May we be like Jesus in his wilderness time. May we trust in you, God. May we believe you. May we make you known. Where in our life, Lord, will you uncover for us where we can go beyond normal, not just given to whining and complaining and grumbling, but given to receiving what you have already given us, your spirit. Jesus, I believe and I pray on behalf of my friends that we believe that you are the bread of life, that you are the provision and the provider all at the same time. May we take you in and trust you and believe you. In your perfect name, amen.